Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. Again, I'm telling you now, ahead of time, next week on Monday and on Tuesday, though I'm going to be doing Christmassy teaching stuff. Some stuff you may never heard of, only because it's from a Jewish perspective. Jewish guy, being a Christian, I have a little bit take on a few of the items. Not all of them. Many of these you've heard before, and some of you have probably even heard some of the stuff I think is new, but I've only heard 41, well, that's not true. I've heard probably 80 Christmas sermons, but 41 years of it, and some of this stuff is just a different approach. So we got that coming on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'm sharing my testimony. We're going to probably do a replay on that on New Year's Day, just to let you know. It's actually hours and hours of editing, and it came out okay. There's some of the things, you know, when you listen to yourself on the radio and sometimes you're like going, why did I say that? Have you ever done that? It's like, wow.
You are your own worst critic.
Yes, this is true. And even on the testimony, I say I'm also my biggest fan, which is a problem. What are you going to do? All right. So we're talking about hope. We're talking about face and reality. One of the reasons that I bring all of this up and bring up my grandson and bring up everything that's going on is this meeting that I'm having later on today that has to do with moving the radio business into more of a ministry. And one of the things I'm trying to determine is, you know, what I do like or don't like by way of name. We're not going to change David Spoon Media or davidspoonmedia.com, but we are going to add something. And I'm kind of like stuck in between, you know, like realfaithrealtruth.org or some of these others, you know, living truths and so on and so forth. If anybody has any good suggestions, you can send it to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Unless you're a person who's going to suggest that I take a long walk off a short pier. And then all I can say for you is I hope Christmas has more meaning than a present. That's all I got. Is that a good response? I'm sorry, sir. Is that? Never mind. There's a great great response audience. People that do stuff like that. All right, let me really wrap this up into a faith-fear element. Fear is something that we encounter frequently, I think, in life. And fear has a lot more to do with not knowing more than anything else. Most people are anxiously afraid. Because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's heading. They don't know what's around the corner kind of mentality. And there's a truth to the fact that if you look at a certain situation and don't look at it with God's input into it, or if you look at a situation and you don't have God in the equation, you're going to have a greater sense of fear and a greater sense of anxiety than if you were to view it with God in the picture. So let me use 1 John 4, 16-18 just to kind of put that in perspective. It says this, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. All right, before we go anywhere else, you and I need to rely on the love that God has for us. He didn't just love you the moment you said yes. He didn't just love you up to that point. We need to not just know, but rely, depend on the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Biblical definition of love, not the worldly. This is how love is made complete, so that we all have confidence on the day of judgment. Well, a real God would never have judgment. See, that's why the world's so weird. In this world, we're like Jesus. There is, by the way, no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The word perfect, by the way, is mature or complete and in the Greek. And one of the things that we find out in Scripture as we kind of dive in is that it is an immaturity to operate continually in fear. It's not bizarre that you have moments of fear. It's not bizarre that you fight fear. But to exist in fear is an immaturity. And maturity has to do with that reliance on God's love. Trusting that when he says something like, Now, to him that is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, then he means it. When he says, I'm willing, then he means it. When he says, I care, then he means it. When you feel like the leper and nobody will touch you, and Jesus says, I'm willing, and that Greek word is thelo, which means I will, I desire to. We need to understand that, hold that, process that. This is why when you get that passage like Psalm 112:7, where it says, I will not fear bad news, my heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. It's not that you're not going to encounter anything. It's just that through that encounter, there is somebody with you, the Lord, who will help you. When God made a commitment to you, he didn't make a temporary commitment. Now, it is true that I've met a lot of people, and I think their commitment to God seems somewhat temporary. But God's commitment to us is permanent. It's eternal. And like Job, we might not understand what's going on. And in fact, we might complain. And Job's great, great character, treated a little more nicely in the New Testament than maybe he was entitled to. Only in the capacity that in Job, chapters 1 and 2, he did a great job. In chapters 3 through 31, he whined like a baby. complaining. And then he gets in. What's his sin? If you remember his sin, Job got in trouble because he justified himself rather than God for what he went through. And God just said to him, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? What do you know? And the answer is nothing. So what God allows you to go through and puts you through or walks you through or leads you into has got purpose and plan written all over it. And it's only because he has your best interests in mind. And before somebody says, well, the Lord will never lead you into something that's tough, it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. So just back that off. That's not scriptural. That's like the same people that go, there's no time in heaven. The Lord has showed me that. He did? Well, then he forgot to take that portion out of Revelation where it says there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. It's like, no, stop that. Don't add to it where it doesn't add. You don't need to do that. There's plenty good there. Streets of gold. Good enough. And the reason that you think, well, Dave, maybe you're just preaching this because you're trying to encourage yourself. Of course I am. In fact, 1 John talks about speaking our faith so that it reinforces our faith. Actually, it's 1 John and 2 John. And so it's really an ironic element. You speak it, you hear it, you give yourself a confidence. That's why the Lord wants you to witness so that your own ears can hear your own testimony about how you believe. And that helps you. It helps you settle. Of course that's true. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's this great desire that I have for you to understand. Be real. It's okay to have these falters and to go up and down. It's okay to not understand everything. It's okay to look up to God. You know, every single great man and woman of God has looked up to God and go, what are you doing? There's nothing new there. It's just that they seem a little quicker to go, okay, I'll trust you. That's the greatness, is believing that God has these designs and purposes and plans. If you're not sure God has a design, please do me a favor. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, where you find out that every single thing that happens is based on the purpose and plan of God. You think, it can't be. Sure. That's why Jesus was chosen as the Lamb of God before the foundation of the earth. Before there was an earth. God said, plan. Okay?